Recordings are started.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to the GNSO Council meeting on the 13th of July, 2017. Would you please acknowledge your name when I call it? James Wadle?
Here.
Donna Austin?
Here.
Ruben Skuhl?
Present.
Thank you. Keith Drazik?
Here.
Darcy Southwell? We'll go ahead and track down Darcy. Michaela Nyland?
Here.
Valerie Tan?
Here.
Bill Corwin?
Here.
Susan Kawaguchi?
Here.
Paul McGrady? We'll go ahead and check into Paul as well. Just circling back, I do show where Darcy Southwell has joined us. Wolf Ulrich Melbourne?
Here. Paul McGrady?
And we'll go ahead and track down Wolf. Rafiq Damick sends in his apologies. He's given his proxy to Stephanie Perrin. Stephanie Perrin?
Rafiq Damick sends in his apologies.
Here.
Thank you. Stefania Milan sends in her apologies. She's given her proxy to Marilia Massell. Marilia Massell?
Proxy to Marilia Massell.
And we'll go ahead and connect with Marilia as well. Heather Forrest?
And we'll go ahead and connect with Marilia as well. Heather Forrest?
Sorry, Terry, fumbling with mute. Present.
Thank you. Tony Harris?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you. Ed Moore sends in his apologies, and his temporary alternate is Aubrey Doria. Aubrey Doria?
I'm here, sir.
Thank you. Martin Silva-Valant?
Here.
Johan Helsingis?
Here.
Thank you. Jingden Orr?
Here.
Carlos Raul Gutierrez?
Here. Terry, on the phone only. Thank you.
Thank you. Ben Fuller? And I do show where Ben is connected, and we'll go ahead and work on his audio. Erica Mann also sends in her apology as well. From staff, we have Mary Wong, Marika Konings, Julie Hedlund, Steve Chan, Almer Elstar, Emily Barabath, Barry Cobb, Michelle DeSmiter, Mike Brennan for technical support, and myself, Terry Agnew. If I could please remind all to state your name before speaking for remote participation and transcription purposes. With this, I'll turn it back over to you, James. Please begin.
Thank you, Terry. And just as an audio check, can you hear me okay? Because I know a number of folks had audio problems.
Perfect.
And I do confirm the audio as well.
Great. Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Terry, and welcome everyone to the GNSO Council call for the 13th of July, 2017. As Terry noted, we have a number of apologies for today's call, and we have some folks who are either alternates or proxies, so please be aware of that when that comes up for a vote. And just wanted to just personally say thank you to everyone who was able to attend and to staff as well. Since we moved this call while we were in Johannesburg, we moved the call up a week, and that compressed the entire calendar, and everyone on staff, you know, Emily, Natalie, Terry, Marika, Mary, Steve, and I'm sure I'm forgetting folks, did a fantastic job of getting everything lined up given a shortened and abbreviated window in between meetings. So thank you very much for that. Let's move then to item number 1.2 for updates of statements of interest. Does anyone have any updates to their statement of interest or their status as a counselor? Please raise your hand in the Adobe room or get my attention if you're audio only. Okay, seeing none, does anyone have any recommended changes or edits to our agenda? The agenda was circulated to the council list earlier this week, and it appears in the center window and the right-hand column of the Adobe room. Any comments or edits to our agenda at this time? Okay, thank you. Let's then move on to 1.4 and note that the minutes for the previous two GNSO Council meetings. That was our meeting on the 18th of May, as well as our meeting in was posted while we were in Johannesburg. Our meeting in Johannesburg, the minutes were circulated to the list on the 10th of July, so just a little earlier this week, and they are expected to be posted to the GNSO webpage on the 20th of July. So if there are any comments or concerns or notes regarding those minutes, please take a look and get those responses in before the 20th. Okay. Next up on our agenda is a review of our project list and our action item list. And if I could ask staff to pull those up, and acknowledging certainly that there probably have not been a whole lot of movement on these items since our last meeting was only just a couple of weeks ago, but we will run through them in an abbreviated fashion and give everyone an opportunity to weigh in with any questions or comments or to table any new ideas that they might want to raise. First up is our project list, and as you can see, we have no items in scoping or initiation. We have several items that are considered to be active working groups, including a couple of PDPs and our participation in cross-community working group efforts. I note that one of those, the CCWG maybe it's already been moved off. I was looking for the one on country and territory names. Oh, there it is, second from the bottom of section four. I'm expecting that will probably be moving into a council deliberation phase as of this meeting or the next. Heather or Carlos, as participants on that group, do you think it's a correct assessment to say that we'll see some movement on that project soon? Heather, go ahead.
Thanks, James. Look, there isn't a set timeline in either the charter or the final report. What is necessary is that we need to take a vote on expressing GNSO's support or not for the outcomes. I would suggest that we, and the reason it's still a discussion item on today's agenda and not a vote, is we need a bit of time to discuss in light of the broader environment, let's say, and developments in relation to geographic names, and I think we want to be strategic. I'm not suggesting we push the vote out indefinitely, but it may be that we need a bit more time than August. So I would suggest, James, that this is certainly something to be done before Abu Dhabi. We're going to put our ears to the ground and see where the CCNSO, the other chartering organization, is on this. But I would suspect that this is probably on our agenda for August, September.
Thanks. Perfect. Thank you, Heather, for providing that update. And we'll look to the next meeting then to see some movement on the CCWG on country territory names. Does anyone else have any comments or updates on the status of our existing working groups? And Heather, I didn't catch if that was an old hand or. Okay. And then you see as well, we have a number of items that are in the implementation phase. I think most particularly, we have a couple of things. For example, the PDPs on translation, transliteration, privacy proxy accreditation issues, PCSAI, the holdover item for inter-registrar transfer policies, and the PIC who is PDP as well. So all of those are in some various states of implementation. I think I'm hearing just as from the registrars that we will see some updates on the IRTPC issue, perhaps not in time for this meeting, but between now and our September meeting as well. Okay. Next up, we can take a look at our action item list, and I'll give staff a moment to load that. Okay, and just noting that items that are green are marked as completed and will not appear on the next action item list. Items that are blue are in progress. Just scrolling down, it looks like we've, I think blue, the first item blue, is the changing of the name of the GNSO has been deferred, so that one probably, the green items, the first green item should actually be blue. We have an item on our agenda today regarding the appointment of a GNSO representative to the Empowered Community Administration. We are considering the fundamental bylaws changes and the PDP travel team support pilot program. I can report that per our discussions in Johannesburg, we have transmitted that notification to all of the active PDPs, and we are receiving applications for travel support from PDP leadership individuals, and Donna and Heather and I will set up a meeting early next week, I believe Monday, to evaluate those applications. The ICANN 60 schedule is a work in progress and will be discussed later today. The GAC communique for Johannesburg has been drafted and is on our topic for today. The chair election schedule has been posted, and hopefully all of your stakeholder groups and constituencies are on track to conduct their internal elections and get those results submitted to the GNSO, which I think the deadline for that was sometime in September. There is an open discussion item which we can talk about, was listed as AOB on the Standing Committee for Budget and Operations, and making that more of a year-long process rather than a deadline-oriented effort. The CCWG on IG is on our agenda today. The change of registrant issues is in progress, but will not hit our agenda today. I expect that we'll see some of that in the interim between now and September. And the reconvened PDP is also underway, but not on our agenda today. Who is complete, and the outstanding PDP improvements and IGO recommendations are still open. So just noting a couple of items where the color coding is off, but I think everyone has, since it's been just only a couple of weeks since we went through this action item list, I think everyone's got a good handle on where we are. So. Does anyone have any updates, comments, or questions for me, for staff, or for any of the PDP or working group leadership on any of these action items? Okay, seeing none, then we can probably close this and go back to our agenda. Thanks, everyone, for sitting through that little bit of tedium while we give staff a window here to open that up. So, okay, then moving on to agenda item number 3, which is our consent agenda. The consent agenda consists of one item at this time, and that was the selection of myself as the GNSO representative to the Empowered Community Administration. Just as a reminder, we, as a council, we adopted a process which essentially asked the chairs of the council to select one from the three of us. I've been serving in an interim capacity since this was called for back in back in the early part of the year, and I think we all just decided it would be much simpler if we just continued forward that through Abu Dhabi and then make the next change in conjunction with the next set of chair and vice chair elections, which will be coming up at that meeting. So hopefully that's a fairly non-controversial decision that was arrived at from the chairs. If there's any discussion on this item, we can certainly move it to a full vote agenda item, but otherwise, in the absence of that, we can move to an acclamation vote on the consent agenda. I see a couple of folks typing, so I'll just let that play out for a second here. Okay. Okay. So if there are no objections, then, Terry, would you do the honors and conduct the vote on the consent agenda item, please?
Thank you. Certainly. Would anyone like to abstain from this motion? Please say your name. Hearing no one, would anyone like to vote against this motion? Hearing none, would all those in favor of the motion please say aye.
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 Aye. Stephanie Perrin, proxy for Rafiq Damick, please express your vote.
Aye.
Thank you. And we are still missing Marilia Macell, who was proxy for Stefania Milan. We'll continue trying to reach her as well. At this time, with no abstentions or objection, the motion passes.
Thank you, Terry. And just to confirm, with Marilia missing and also holding a proxy for Stefania, that does not change our threshold. We still have a quorum, and we still successfully pass the motion. I just want to confirm that. And maybe rather than put you on the spot and make you dig through the bylaws, maybe that's something you can just confirm while we move on with our agenda, if you don't mind. And we should probably continue to try to reach out to Marilia because we're down 2 votes for some of the other items. So. Just a note that Mary has posted in the chat that the GAC has confirmed Thomas Schneider will remain the GAC's representative to the ECA until his term is up, which I believe is also coincides with ICANN 60. And one other note here is that I anticipate that almost all of the work associated with the Empowered Community will occur between now and presumably the end of July, and after that I expect it will be fairly quiet again. So, but I certainly will report back to Council if there's any updates on that. Okay, thank you everyone for participating in that item, and we'll move on to number 4, and this one's a little more involved. It's a proposal by the board that was sent to the Empowered Community to change the amend the fundamental bylaws for reconsideration requests. This was the subject of our first ever community forum, which was held in Johannesburg on the second day, I believe, of the meeting. Per the new bylaws, we as a decisional participant, the GNSO has to either approve or deny this by the 21st. So very close to the deadline for our original date for the meeting, but it certainly helps that we move this up a little bit. We do know that some stakeholder groups and constituencies within the GNSO have already indicated their support for this proposed amendment to the fundamental bylaws, and that we had some other groups that were still working to obtain that. I can report just from the registrar perspective that we did have a brief consultation with our ExCom and informed them of the approval from other areas of the GNSO, and I believe we now have a green light from our ExCom to support it as well. That's something that's changed since we were all last together again in Johannesburg. So I'll introduce the motion. I'm still looking for a second, if anyone is so inclined, and then we can proceed with the discussion and a vote. Okay, thanks, Donna. Donna's seconding, so we can record that. I'll just note the resolve clauses. The GNSO Council votes to approve the amendment to Section 4.2 of the ICANN bylaws, being an amendment to an ICANN fundamental bylaw as detailed in the board resolution of 18 May 2017, and there's the link. 2, the GNSO Council directs the GNSO Secretariat to forward this resolution to the Empowered Community Administration before the expiration of the approval action decision period as required under Section 1.4, Article 1, Annex D of the ICANN bylaws. And 3, the GNSO Council directs James Bladel, the GNSO's interim representative to the Empowered Community Administration, to coordinate with the other 4 decisional participant representatives to ensure that the Empowered Community Administration observes and completes the appropriate processes outlined in Section 1.4b and c of Annex D. That's the motion. It was made by me, seconded by Donna, and we'll open up now for a queue if anyone would like to discuss this topic or our next steps associated with this fundamental bylaw. Not a very controversial or engaging topic, apparently. or we just got all of our thoughts out on the table in the community forum, perhaps. Yeah, not controversial. Heather's saying that as well. Okay. Well, if there are no one is interested in speaking for or against this motion, we could certainly just proceed to a vote in the interest of expediting this, because we do have a number of other items that might not go so smoothly. So, if there are no other concerns, then Terry, would you mind conducting the vote on agenda item number 4? And if you would please, if there are no objections, we could proceed with a vote by acclamation.
Thank you. Once again, would anyone like to abstain from this motion? Please say your name. Hearing no one, would anyone like to vote against this motion? Hearing none, would all those in favor of the motion please say aye.
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 Thank you. Thank you. Stephanie Perrin, proxy for Rafiq Damick, please express your vote.
Aye.
And we are still trying to reach Morelia Nassel, who holds also proxy for Stefania Milan. But even with the two absent, the motion does pass. So at this time, officially, with no abstention, no or objection, the motion passes.
Okay. Thank you, Terry, and thank you, counselors, and thanks to everyone who participated in the community forum in South Africa. I thought that was a good shakedown for this process and for the Empowered Community Administration. Next item on our agenda is a placeholder, and the placeholder is there because the council would have to consider and vote on any petitions arising from a stakeholder group or constituency to reject the fiscal year 18 operating plan and budget. I'm not aware of any proposed petitions at this time, but that certainly doesn't mean that they're not circulating out there. So at this time, I'd like to formally ask any counselors if you're holding a petition from your stakeholder group, constituency, or XCOM on behalf of any of those groups to reject the fiscal year 18 budget, and you would like the GNSO to consider that petition. It doesn't look like anyone has a petition to reject the budget. I would note that, and Mary's probably going to correct me here if I go too far afield, but I would note that petitions may arise from other stakeholder groups, sorry, other SOs and ACs, and that those petitions would be necessary to be considered by the GNSO by the, I think it's by the 21st, of July. So it may become necessary if another petition is filed by some of those other organizations, it may become necessary for us to discuss it on our list and to conduct either an electronic ballot or to hold our meeting on July 20th as scheduled in order to consider that petition. So I'm just trying to keep up with the chat here. Yes, no petitions so far that I'm aware of. And Michaela, yes, this is a new thing. So, okay, but just to note that you do have a meeting on your calendar for July 20th to consider petitions that might arise from other other SOs and ACs, and if none are presented, then it will not be necessary for us to hold that meeting on the 20th, and it will be canceled. Okay, thank you for your indulgence on that little bit of bureaucracy, and we'll move on then to item number 6, which is a council vote on approval of the review and response of the GATT communique from Johannesburg. Bill Corwin has taken the lead on drafting some language because the main thrust of the GATT advice coming out of Johannesburg was involving the IGO access security rights, which is currently the subject of a PDP. And so Phil and a small team got together to work on these particular response that you see in the document in front of us. That language was circulated to the list, and Marika has taken it and put it into our standard template that we use for these types of responses. Additionally, the two co-chairs of the subpro PDP, which is Jeff Newman and Avery, made a recommendation that we respond to some mentions of the geographic name sessions that were included in the GAT communique. Now, these were present in the communique, but they were not part of the GAC advice. So they don't, as you can see, they don't exactly fit the template format. It's just a couple of columns there on page 5. And I note that a number of folks perhaps may not have had an opportunity to fully review that that edition. But given that this was a big part of the meeting, the policy forum in Johannesburg, and given that we have had a number of discussions on this topic at the council level, we want to try to see if we can have it both ways here and get this included into our response in a timely fashion while still preserving the value and the impact of the response when the board meets with the GAC, which is scheduled for early August. So our options here are to discuss the entire document, discuss anything that we'd like to add as far as the addition on page 5, and go from there. At this time, I think other folks would like to weigh in. I note that the registries had some discussions here, so certainly invite their counselors as well as Jeff and Avery if they would like to weigh in on this topic as well. But first in the queue is Paul. So Paul, you're up. Go ahead.
Thanks, James. Paul McGrady. I just wanted to raise my hand, and I'll put it back down, but as we get past the issue of the IGOs, and we get to the paragraph that Rubens added at the bottom regarding geoterms, I'd like to talk through the language that's been proposed there, but I didn't want to, I just wanted to be put in the queue, but towards the end. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Paul, and that's fair. Let's take a look first at the IGO bit as well, because that, I think, is the issue that was, I don't want to say targeted, that's not the right word, but that was the issue that was the focus of the GAC's advice to the board in the Johannesburg communique. So let's take a look first at that, and I would certainly invite Phil or any of the other folks who are pretty close to this to weigh in. I know Phil did quite a bit of heavy lifting putting this language together. And specifically, I think the theme of this response is that that the PDP recognizes the divergences between GAC advice and the PDP's at least initial recommendations, but it is taking those on board as part of their comments. So, Phil, I'll let you speak to that first part. If you don't mind, go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you, James. Phil, for the record, I'll be as brief as possible. The while this was the only item of GAC advice in the Johannesburg communique, there's really nothing new in the advice. It's really just as with geonames, it's a reiteration of a prior position. What's new is that I guess this is based on the discussion in the open face-to-face meeting of the Curative Rights Working Group in Johannesburg that we, not surprisingly, because it's consistent with our initial report, where we may deliver recommendations which substantially differ from the GAC advice, which was advice to establish an entirely separate CRP, simple only for IGOs, and to deny domain registrants any access to national courts in regard to such disputes with IGOs. And then they went on to call on the ICANN board to ensure that the working group has adequately reflected I guess they want the board to tell us that our final recommendation should reflect the input and expertise provided by the IGOs. I refrained in the draft comment from getting stating explicitly that the board had no power to direct any working group to reach any particular conclusion. And instead, the draft response simply says that the working group fully considered the IGO input despite their decision not to participate as official members of the working group, and that our initial report released in January contains a discussion of several pages length of the IGO small group proposal. So in the draft response, I tried to be comprehensive and non-confrontational while, noting that the working group has given full consideration to all input we've received from IGOs and from the GAC, and that, in fact, it's likely that our final report will make some changes in response to input we received in comments from IGOs and others on our initial report. And I'll stop there. I think it's fairly clear what they said and what the response says, and happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Phil, and thanks not only for putting this together, but also taking point on this issue in Johannesburg. And we certainly note that when something shows up in the communique like this, it usually is the subject of some very passionate discussions on the ground. And I was there for a few of those, so I recognize that. So I don't know if anyone has any questions or anything to add or questions for Phil. I think it's my understanding, Phil, is that the your PDP here is reaching nearing the end of its work and should be issuing its final report sometime between now and Abu Dhabi. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct, James. We held a 90-minute call earlier today, we've got some decisions to make very shortly that will decide the final course of our work. But I think we're going to be in the stage of agreeing on what's going to be in the final report and drafting it before the end of the summer, based on where we are now. So I don't see any reason we can't have a final report done at least, I'm hoping, at least a month before the Abu Dhabi meeting. So, that's our intent, and there's no reason now to think we can't complete our work and get that report drafted, particularly since we're not contemplating a great number of significant changes from the initial report, though the ones we are contemplating are of some degree of significance. The only other thing I'll say on this issue personally is that I don't know if dismayed was the right word, but given all the effort this council has put into trying to integrate the council into the policy development process and inform them of how it operates, I was a bit concerned to see language in their advice which called on the ICANN board to ensure that the working group's recommendations adequately reflect input and expertise provided by IGOs. I think calling on the working group to fully consider that input is fine, but asking that our final report reflect the viewpoint of one particular group of commenters, I don't think is appropriate. But again, in the response I drafted for council consideration, I didn't focus on that point, but I thought I'd, it'd be reasonable to raise it among us during this call. Thank you.
Thanks, Phil. And I was asking for a timeline because this is probably, this particular PDP is probably, this is the last time it will be active when subject to a GAC communique, and I'm presuming that its final report will be considered as potential mention in the communique for Abu Dhabi. I see Donna is in the queue, so I'll go to Donna.
Thanks, James. Donna Austin. Given that this has
been quite a contentious topic for some period of time, and it looks like we will be in the position again of having conflicting policy recommendations and GAC advice. I wonder if there's some way to communicate to the board when we send back this response that we think there would be some value in having the opportunity to run through the recommendations with the board and specifically address the GAC advice, you know, how the GAC advice was dealt with in the PDP recommendations before we get to the stage of a council vote. I'm really conscious that we're, you know, I understand the path that we're on and I understand the reasons that we're on it, but I'm wondering if there's any value in making sure that, at least from our perspective, the board understands why we got here and the work that was done with within the PDP working group itself, specifically as it relates to the GAC advice and the small group proposal. So I'm sorry, James, it's a little bit off topic. I know it's not directly related to the content of what Phil's provided here, but I just wanted to flag it now because it's going to be on, you know, it's only a couple of months till Abu Dhabi, so maybe it's worth considering. Thanks.
Thanks, Donna, and I think that's a really great suggestion that we would run through the proposals or the recommendations themselves, but also an analysis of how the small group proposal and all the participation and contributions from the GAC and from IGOs, you know, however large or small, how those were taken on board, how their comments were factored into the final report, and then presenting that all to the board, I think would be helpful in avoiding the situation that we're in with the Red Cross and Red Crescent names. Just a thought that we should probably start that process now, but we don't want to put the cart too far in front of the horse because, as Phil mentioned, we're still awaiting a final report with final recommendations probably in the next month or two. But we should keep that in mind, and maybe we'll just reach out to staff and have them connect with their counterparts on the board to discuss that possibility. Any other folks have questions or comments on this on the language of this response? My only thought, and if you'll permit me, Phil, I want to make sure everyone is comfortable with this as a council response. I know, Phil, you're very close to this issue. You have a lot of expertise and a lot of history on this, and you know, it appears like we are channeling, if you will, the response of the PDP to, you know, and then kind of wrapping that around as a council response. I think that's okay as long as everyone's on board with that, but I just want to note that it's to some extent what we're doing here. The council is not necessarily taking away from what the PDP is doing, or nor are we making any other assessments on our own. We have really, in many respects, just taken the position of the PDP and made it our own, which, you know, again, there's not anything wrong with doing so. I just want to make sure that we are all of the understanding that that's what we're doing. I see Phil and then Heather and then Jeff. Okay. Phil, go ahead. Go ahead, Ruben.
Thanks, James. Ruben's here. As Marika mentioned in the chat, I have circulated for the drafting team an addition about the geoname section in the GAC communique. And instead of suggesting that addition, which is somewhat controversial because it still has to be discussed even among inside the registry stakeholder group, and by other stakeholder groups and constituencies, I'm now suggesting something that I put in the chat, but I will read here for the benefit of those only in audio. That would be the GNSO Council also takes note of the the geographic name is a top-level domain section of the communique, restating previous advice documents. GNSO Council will be commenting on this topic in a separate communication to be sent at a later date. This way we can discuss the idea of what should we respond to that, but we keep up a mark, a placeholder saying, hey, we have something to comment about that, and we'll be doing so. So this is the one way I could find to incorporate guidance from the stakeholder group that included both the need to comment on this topic, and if you couldn't comment on this topic, even to defer this motion, which is not something that we would like to do, since even our stakeholder group thinks that this should move as fast as possible for the process. So that's the suggestion I put on the table for the motion authors and seconders. Thank you.
Thanks, Ruben. I just want to note that we're still kind of wrestling with making sure everybody's okay with the item on IGO protections and the curative rights PDP first, but I note your proposal and the language that you put in the chat. I think Jeff wants to speak to this as well as one of the co-chairs of the sub-pro group, but I'm just going to ask if we can tackle one controversy at a time and see if we can, you know, bring the IGO conversation in for a landing, and then we'll take on the question of what to do with our response on geo names. So if I could ask you to just kind of hold that thought for a little bit here, I want to see if Heather, are you speaking to the IGO curative rights issue, or
yes,
did you want
James.
To? Okay, good. I just want to make sure. Once we've got everything clear on that, then we can move on to the geo names. But Heather, you're up on IGO.
Great. Thanks, James. Heather Forrest, for the record. Look, I appreciate everything that's been said to this point in relation to the text and IGOs. And I don't think any of us, not at least that I've heard, so hopefully I'm not mischaracterizing anyone's position, I don't think any of us fundamentally disagrees with the accuracy of what's stated here. That's certainly not the case. I think I have some reservations in two ways, and one of them I admit is fairly pedantic. One of them is just the volume of information here. I know it's good to remind the board of where we've been and how we've gotten there. I'm just afraid we're at a stage where this has been in our response to the communique more than once. We've got a big volume of information here, and I just wonder if the downside or risk to that is we're going to get ignored on this. They're going to look and say, oh, it's this again, and not pay as close attention as they might do to a few short, snappy phrases that, you know, either points back to our earlier response or something like this. I open it for consideration. I'm sorry, James. I've maybe opened a kettle of fish on that. So perhaps a tighter text. The next thing, maybe in considering drafting that tighter text, would be I'm concerned in light of our broader environment and the item that Jeff and Aubrey have asked to speak to, which is the geonames point. I think we want to tread fairly carefully. You know, again, I think we're all committed on a substantive level to articulating the role of the GNSO in this space. And I just think we want to be strategic in terms of how we do that. And I actually think in that regard, James, it's good that this sits next to GeoNames and that we have Aubrey and Jeff here, because I'd almost like to hear their views on what risks this tone in the IGOs might have on the broader grenade, which is old landmine or whatever we want to call it, that is geo names, because we're really at a fundamental point in terms of, you know, existential, the role of the PDP question. And with that in mind, I understand you want to clearly differentiate the two, but I would almost like to consider the tone on this in light of and in the context of why we have Jeff and Avery on the call today. So those are my comments. Thank you.
Thanks, Heather. So if I can sum up, you are throwing a hand grenade into a kettle of fish. I think we all are now showered in the fish guts. But no, I think it's particularly apt because you're correct. Both of these issues cut across. We can talk the substance, and I think it's fair to say that Phil and the folks drafting this first response have nailed the substance. But I think there's this undercurrent of challenge or questioning or skepticism applied to the legitimacy of the PDP to address these issues. That's the common thread that's kind of running through both of these topics, and I think that's the reason why we want to communicate this to the board. And I think maybe that overarching topic is something that doesn't belong in the communique, but maybe belongs in part of a bilateral or multilateral discussion between us and the board, because the model is pretty clear that that's our job. That's what we're responsible for doing. So I got a cue for me here. I'm assuming that's an old hand after Heather, so I will go to Phil and then Jeff and Avery. Phil, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, James. Phil, for the record. Briefly, the reason, and I tried to take a measured approach and not an emotional approach on this, the reason I went into some detail is because our response is going to the board, and I thought it might be useful to, and frankly, if we're contemplating a session with the board at Johannesburg to discuss the elements of the final report from this working group, I think it might be beneficial to remind the board at this point that we've, really given, the working group has given very extensive consideration to IGO and GAC input. The fact that we haven't given them what they requested is not to be, should not, lead to the conclusion that we ignored the input. We just didn't find it compelling or supported by law and policy considerations. So far as noting, I assumed that this was, I have no pride of authorship on this, other than I would object to something being put in that was not factually correct. This is going to be the council's message, not the message from me or from the working group. And it's up to council to put it in the way they want. I did. The reason I put in the sentence that Donna was concerned was being too confrontational about the decision by IGOs to not become members of the working group. That was really in response to the GAC calling on the board to ensure that the final recommendations adequately reflect the input and expertise provided by the IGOs. And in that context, I thought it was useful to reiterate that the IGOs, despite numerous outreach efforts by the working group, chose not to be official members. Their participation was highly sporadic. And when counsel for IGOs met with the working group, they made clear that they were meeting in a personal capacity and not as official representatives of their organization. So it was in response to the text from the GAC, and it's a little hard to understand why they're surprised by the report they got in Johannesburg, because there was nothing different in that than the initial report, which was put out for public comment in January. But it's up to the council to decide on the final language of this response. I've just provided something. It's a suggestion to council, and council can edit it as it wishes. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Phil. And it looks like Jeff and Avery are in the queue to speak to this and potentially to the next item in the response. Before we get there, though, I wanted to note, I think this response we've heard has been we've heard feedback from board members that this response from the GNSO to the GATT communique is valuable because it's usually fairly narrow, and it is also fairly timely because they are, as we noted in early August, they're going to be meeting with the GAC to discuss the communique. The only concern I have, and it's more of a precedent-setting concern, is that I don't want, and maybe I'm alone on this, this response to become sort of a catch-all for our disagreements or differences of positions between us and the GAC. Because then I think it loses its value. I think it loses its punch. So if we're going to focus on IGOs, if we're going to focus on GO names, then let's keep it as narrow as possible such that it is useful. But if we want to take on some of these bigger issues, then I think that should probably move to another vehicle, like either direct consultation with the board or the GAC or other letters or something like that, because it probably has now those topics and the legitimacy of the PDP and the role of governments and all that other stuff starts to eclipse the purpose of this response. So that's just my 2 cents on this. But next up, we have the co-chairs in order for the sub-pro PDP. So next up, we'll go with Jeff, and then Avery, and then I think just for both of them, I just want to note that Heather has asked a specific question on the tone. If you could incorporate that into your interventions, that'd be great. Thanks. Jeff, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, James. Hopefully you guys can hear me okay. And actually, James, I was going to quote you based on what you sent to the registries, which is similar to what you said just now, but I think you said it really well in the in your email that you sent earlier, which was that you said, over the last year, we've had 2 bits of valuable feedback from the board on the responses to the communique. First, that these letters are extremely helpful in shaping their interactions with the GAC on matters that impact or conflict with GNSO policy development. And secondly, that the maximum benefit of the responses have it ready for the board in time for their post-ICANN meeting with the GAC. And this is, I think that was really well stated. It doesn't say that it only has to be for advice, but anything that is of important impact with our policy development process. I think you said it really, really well. On the geographic issue in particular, I'm not sure how many people were able to attend the first part of the second session on GO names, but it became pretty clear during that session that there are a number of GAC members that feel that geographic names or the issue of geographic names at the top level, possibly even at the second level, but certainly at the top level, is actually not really an issue for the GNSO, or at least not for the GNSO exclusively. And what they did during that session, and which was reflected in the communique, is referred to a bit of advice that they gave in 2010, where they basically said that all country and territory names should be decided through essentially the CCNSO policy development process. Now, many of us missed that advice in 2010 because either we were concentrating on other things or we thought it was mostly related to actually those names listed in a guidebook or that were going to be listed in the guidebook. But since then, the GAC has greatly expanded their view of geographic names and, in fact, are tying it all back to that 2010 advice when the GNSO had no vehicle to really respond to that advice. So even though it's technically not considered, it's not in the section that's called "This is Consensus Advice," this is actually
this is actually referring to that advice. They don't have to give it as consensus advice again because they already gave it once. So I think it was a decision, and probably a smart one to do from the GAC, to not put it in the consensus advice, because then they didn't have to get a vote of their own members, and it was a lot quicker. So to put aside the notion, this is, we are responding to GAC advice, albeit 7 years later, but this happens to be the time when they're bringing it up. The other thing I want to mention is if you look at the language that I drafted, which I sent around yesterday, and I know it's short notice, but frankly, you know, we're just a week and a half out from the meeting. It basically just reiterates the history in the first sentence and then goes into really a positive tone on something that we'll talk about towards the end of the meeting in any other business, which is this work track 5, and really encourages participation from the community, including the GAC, in that sub-pro PDP to ensure a multi-stakeholder bottom-up solution to this issue. Really, the goal of this is to avoid the issues that happened with the IGO, INGO, or having the GAC come in last minute or at the end of the process, but really to get in early engagement. The board will be discussing this issue, as far as I know, with the GAC on the August meeting. It's the first week of August. In addition, Avery and I are going to send out invitations for the GAC to participate next week. And we're going to send it to all the SOs and ACs invitations. So time is of the essence for this. Putting it in the GAC, the response to the GAC communiques is actually the best place to ensure that they read it and that the board reads it before they get on the phone with the GAC in early August. I'll defer the rest of it to Avery, but I really feel this is of fundamental importance, especially if you were there during that session. When a lot of people already went home, but if you didn't listen to the first 90 minutes of that session, and you will hear a number of vocal governments talk about how this is not within the scope of the GNSO. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Jeff. I have Avery and Paul in the queue next, and I'm also noting that there's a pretty interesting chat exchange occurring in the chat regarding a potential path forward, which is kind of aligned with the conversation I'm having with staff about some of our options as well. So we'll get on that here, though, once the queue, once everyone's had an opportunity to speak. So, Avery, you're up next.
Okay, thanks. This is Avery speaking. I'm not going to repeat, obviously, what Jeff said, though I do want to say that reiterating that a reminder of advice is indeed in this. So I think it does fit within the template, perhaps a little bit of a squeeze, but it does fit. I think when we're looking at the tone, I think that both what's there on the IGO and what Jeff has accepted are both the positive things that the GNSO is doing to try and accommodate the whether it was the IGOs in one case or the GAC in another place. And so I think that in terms of tone, we're doing it. I think that the juxtaposition of the two sort of alludes to the bigger issue, the grenade in the kettle of fish. And I was wondering, does that become sushi? But still, alludes to that, but does not actually put it on the table, is not in your face about it. But it's just basically two issues, perhaps even a line somewhere that talks about, if the other one is stuck in, that talks about, you know, at the end, that the GNSO is striving to include the voices, to include the concerns, and move forward with its work, is the tone that's really worth taking. And so that's why I would really recommend that we do, and, you know, I don't know whether I'm talking as a temporary alternate now or talking as a co-chair, but basically recommend that both of these elements be in there in their positive sense, and but make sure that the topic is on the table for this initial conversation. And I think Jeff expressed, you know, the content part of it quite well. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Avery. Appreciate that. And whether you're speaking as a co-chair or a temporary alternate, I think doesn't matter. We just value your your contributions regardless. Paul, you're up next.
Thanks. Paul McGrady for the record. So the language on the last paragraph regarding geotherms seems to have disappeared, and we're looking at the communique now instead, at least I am on the screen. But I do think there are a couple of little tweaks to it that I'd like to see made. First, I think we do need to make it clear, more clear, that the geographic terms issues for new GTLDs is essentially it's an issue that GNSO has primacy on. It is within our remit. The way that this is written now, it kind of says, well, it's part of our charter from the subpro PDP. But it's not just that it happens to accidentally be part of a charter. It's that we have to remind the board that this is, in fact, you know, our space. And so I'd like for us to beef it up some way there. And then secondly, I think we should make, when it says, you know, the last sentence, the GNSO Council encourages participation from the community, I think we should, you know, we should remind them that we have these series of mediated discussions and say the GNSO Council, you know, is happy that there was such robust participation at the mediated sessions in Johannesburg, and continues to encourage participation from the community, and go ahead and finish out the sentence. But, you know, we need to remind them that we're going overboard to bring the GAC and other members of the community into this, even though it is a GNSO process. But I do think we need to be just a smidge stronger in making it clear that this is, in fact, our process. Thank you.
Thanks, Paul, and noting that we captured those changes for the recording and transcript, but would you mind also, if you have a moment, just kind of putting those thoughts in the chat, if you haven't already done so, just so we don't lose those, because I think there were some good adds there. Okay, next up I have Donna and then Jeff again, and then we're probably going to have to figure out where we want to go with this, and I can kind of I'll put myself into the chat and or into the queue and talk. We can talk a little bit about our options for potentially removing this issue from a vote for today, but still getting this finalized before the board meets with the GAC in early August. So I'll just go ahead and put my hand here as a placeholder for that, and we'll go to Donna next. Donna?
Thanks, James. Donna Austin. Just a question for Jeff and perhaps all of the council here, but in relation to what the GAC has provided here, there's a section that says that the GAC considers that any further process of policy review and development should A, continue to allow all stakeholder groups to participate equally, take into account the history and rationale of the arrangements currently in place, and apply an evidence-based policy approach. I think what you know, the suggestion of work track 5 is, I think, is consistent with what the GAC has identified in this, and perhaps it might be helpful if we actually tied work track, the reference to work track 5 back to that, saying that it is consistent with, you know, what the GAC is requesting. You know, that might be helpful, I think. And then the other question I have, and maybe I know the answer to this, but, you know, there's a number of GAC documents that are cited here, and it's only one specific area that has been called out, I think, Jeff, but it's not referenced in the response. And I just wonder, you know, why is that the case? I guess it's based on, you know, the discussion and the concerns that were raised during the cross-community discussion. And I would note that while there were some GAC members that, you know, really pressed the point that perhaps the GNSO wasn't the right place to discuss some of the geographic names topics, there were some other GAC representatives that were not on the same page. So I don't know that we can assume that there's any GAC opinion or, you know, formal GAC opinion out there that wants to take this out of where it currently sits at the moment. So I guess to some extent we just need to be aware of that and be careful that we're not overstating anything here or making any undue assumptions. Thanks.
Thanks, Donna. And, yeah, good point to ensure that we're not responding to only one element of the GAC, maybe one vocal element of the GAC when they're not necessarily monolithic in this position. So next up is Jeff. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. I just want to actually say Don and I, on the first point that she said, are actually thinking alike. Avery and I had actually already discussed our invitation letter will contain or was planning on containing that exact language from the GAC communique. So I don't know if it needs I don't know if it needs to go in the GNSO response or just in our invite letter that we're talking about it with any other business. But certainly I think that language is very helpful for the work track five and we'll use it in that way. I didn't want to make this section too long and make it, you know, pretty much straight to the point. On Paul's suggestion of primacy, although I agree with him, I think that might be viewed, as Ruben says in the chat, as adversarial. And I was trying to create a positive, encouraging tone in here, even though I share the view that we, the GNSO, are the primary body to deal with policy development of GTLDs. I just think we're kind of poking their eye if we put that in there. Not that I disagree with that language. I just think as far as tone, I think it's important that we try to look as accommodating as possible so that if they refuse to participate, we can say, hey, we did everything you asked for, and you guys still didn't participate, which is, I think, a position we want to be in. And on why only this aspect, a lot of the other elements of the advice, all like the ones before 2010 lead up to this particular piece of advice in 2010, and the ones after 2010 are a little bit more detailed on the treatment of geographic names in general. The reason I pulled this one out and not the others is because this is the only one that refers to the process by which the decision on what to do about this issue is talked about. And that's where it talks about this being done with the CCNSO and not the GNSO. And again, we want to keep it short, to the point, and not address every single point, because this is the most important one. Thanks.
Hey, thanks, Jeff. Paul, go ahead, and then I'm going to close the queue and we need to kind of get moving. Go ahead, Paul.
Thanks. Thank you, Paul McGrady. So just in response to what Jeff said, you know, I guess at some point we have to have a reason to exist and not go out of business. And, you know, developing policy related to generic top-level domain names seems to be fairly within our remit. I don't think it'll be controversial or confrontational for us to remind the board that we do exist and have a reason to do it. I am concerned about not asserting the primacy if we are going to keep this other language in that's been suggested. It seems to imply that if the CCNSO had gone forward with its PDP, that this would have fallen within there, and that the only reason why we're in charge of it now is because it happens to fit a charter. I think we need to decide if we're not going to remind everybody about the primacy, then we need to do some cleanup on this other language to not make it sound as if it's a historic accident that this is on the GNSO plate. Thanks.
Thanks, Paul. And thanks, Jeff, and for everyone who, and Avery, and Donna, and Heather, and everyone who weighed in on this. So here's where I think we're going, and if you haven't been following the chat, then this will seem like a spoiler, but we do have an opportunity to spend a little bit more time on this topic, and when I say topic, I mean the GNSO response to the GEC Joburg communique. The board is, and I don't know, Marika or Emily, if you have any idea when this is going to be occurring, but I've heard that they're tentatively scheduled for the first 2 weeks of August. to meet with the GAC and to discuss the communique. So we have a little bit of time. We don't want to cut it too close because I believe last time we sent an abbreviated letter, and even that was a little too close and wasn't considered by a number of the board members in time for that meeting. So here's kind of where I think we can go. If we can get some folks to work on this document, which is, and I think we have a couple of to-do items here. One is to, revisit the IGO language. I'm certain that everything that is here is factual, correct, and thorough, but maybe look if there's any way we can pare it down so that we're not overloading the board with too much detail here, and that we can kind of point the way forward for the ICANN 60 and set the stage for that. I think that would be valuable for the first item. For the second item, I think noting the concerns that were raised by Jeff and Avery and others, noting that Paul's point about not leaving primacy implied because it's mentioned in our charter, but actually to explicitly call out the remit of the GNSO is laid out by the bylaws, and to do that, as Ruben's noted, in a way that doesn't come across as adversarial. A little bit of diplomatic writing will be required there, but I think it is possible. If we can put together a team that tackles those two issues on this draft and then brings that back to council in a timely manner that we can consider this for an electronic vote. We do have another meeting scheduled 1 week from today on the 20th, but there's, I'd say better than average shot that meeting will be canceled if there are no petitions to blow up the budget. So in that case, we would instead just move this to the list and conduct an electronic ballot, and that would still give us enough time to get this finalized and submitted to the board with maybe a week, maybe a little more to spare before they meet with the GAC. So that's kind of the proposed path forward here to kind of get us out of the woods. And I can imagine some folks are going to be volunteering. I see Paul is volunteering. I imagine Phil and Jeff, you're going to definitely be on the hook for that if you can. If we can get – I'll put my name in there as well. And so anyone else who's interested in volunteering, please throw your name in the chat, and I would just ask staff, if they can capture those folks, then we'll take that away as an action item. But just to note, the folks that are volunteering, you've heard the concerns, you've heard the constraints that we're trying to operate under, and you know that the window to deliver some finalized language is very tight. So please keep all of that in mind as you raise your hand. We will presume that will move to an electronic ballot sometime between now and the end of the month. Okay? So thank you, and some volunteers are still trickling in. So thank you, everyone who worked on this. Thank you, everyone who contributed to the discussion and raised their thoughts and concerns today, and for those of you who are volunteering to get this turned around in the next week, thank you, and buckle up. We're going to need to move fairly quickly. Okay, great. So then let's move to the next item, which is also a vote, which is the next steps in relation to the charter for the cross-community working group on internet governance. Just as a time check, we've got about 45 minutes left in our call. The motion was submitted by Keith and is part of our discussions ongoing since Hyderabad, and then again in Copenhagen and in Johannesburg. So, Keith, I'd be happy to second the motion so we can continue with our discussions. But if you don't mind, I could put you on the spot and you could read the motion into the record, or I'd be happy to do so for you. Just let me know.
Thanks, James. I appreciate the offer of the second. I'll happily accept. Can everybody hear me?
5x5.
Okay, great. Thanks. So I think because this is the first time we've considered the motion, I probably need to read the whole thing, including the whereas clauses. I will try to do so quickly, unless, James, you think that we don't have time for that.
No, go ahead, Keith. Please proceed.
All right, thanks. Okay, so this is, as James said, this is the discussion around the future of the CCWG-IG, and ideally a motion that creates a structure and a process for allowing the GNSO as a chartering organization to work with the other chartering organizations to find an appropriate successor structure. As you'll see from some of the resolved and whereas clauses, there was, I think, some very constructive discussion that took place in Johannesburg among the group itself during its face-to-face meeting and also on the sidelines among various individuals who have been involved. A recognition that the CCWG may not be either the required or even an appropriate structure, and that we ought to try to find something that allows the group to continue its work without interruption. So let me go ahead and start reading. So whereas clause number one, the GNSO Council adopted the charter for a cross-community working group to discuss internet governance issues affecting ICANN and make recommendations to the chartering organizations on these issues on 15 October 2014 and has, as such, become a chartering organization. Whereas two, the GNSO Council adopted the Uniform Framework of Principles and Recommendations for Cross-Community Working Groups, the CCWG Framework, in October 2016. The CCWG Framework details the life cycle of a CCWG, including initiation, operation, decision-making, and closure, and the GNSO Council has observed that the CCWG-IG, whose formation predated the adoption of the CCWG Framework, does not follow this life cycle or some of the principles outlined in the CCWG framework. Whereas three, the GNSO Council recognizes the importance of a continued discussion of the topic of internet governance within an ICANN context and the continued participation by the GNSO in this discussion. Whereas four, the GNSO Council has shared its concerns with the CCNSO Council and representatives of other SOACs on the current scope of the CCWG-IG and the appropriate vehicle through which ICANN's SOs and ACs may continue to participate in internet governance discussions within the ICANN context. Whereas five, during its meeting on 7 November 2016, the GNSO Council confirmed it would continue to participate as a chartering organization for the CCWG-IG. However, this participation was conditioned upon a comprehensive review of the CCWG-IG charter by the CCWG-IG, in accordance with the CCWG framework, including the possibility that another vehicle may be more suitable for cross-community discussions on the topic of internet governance. Whereas six, on 11 March 2017, the CCWG-IG submitted a revised charter to the GNSO Council for its consideration. Whereas seven, the GNSO Council reviewed the charter and discussed it during a number of meetings, as well as in its meetings with the CCNSO Council. These discussions highlighted remaining concerns over the group's compliance with the CCWG framework, as well as its accountability vis-a-vis the chartering organizations. Whereas eight, during ICANN 59 in Johannesburg, the CCWG-IG held a face-to-face meeting that included members of the ICANN Board's Internet Governance Committee. There was discussion about the future of the group, challenges with the ongoing nature of internet governance, and the constraints imposed by the community developed requirements for CCWG structures. Members from multiple SOs and ACs recognized the challenges and generally agreed that a CCWG is not a required vehicle for the important and legitimate work of the group, provided the group is able to continue its engagement with adequate ICANN support and resources, and there is no gap between the retirement of the CCWG and the establishment of its successor. Resolved, number one, the GNSO Council expresses its gratitude to the CCWG-IG for its work in ensuring that discussions on internet governance take place within the ICANN context. Resolved two, the GNSO Council emphasizes that it fully recognizes the importance of the continued involvement of the ICANN community in internet governance-related activities that are appropriate to ICANN's mission. Resolved three, the GNSO Council requests that members of the CCWG-IG and other interested parties come together to explore a framework or model that more fully addresses the concerns that have been expressed by the GNSO Council and submit this framework or model to the GNSO Council for its consideration by ICANN 60 in Abu Dhabi. Resolve 4, to facilitate the work as requested under Resolve Clause 3, allowing for a reasonable time to coordinate with other SOs and ACs to develop a new structure and to ensure there is no gap between the retirement of the CCWG IG and the establishment of its successor group, the GNSO Council shall withdraw as a chartering organization from the CCWG IG effective at the conclusion of ICANN 60 in Abu Dhabi. Resolve 5, the GNSO Council emphasizes that its planned withdrawal as a chartering organization from the CCWG IG reflects solely the Council's conclusion that, based on the reports it has received from the CCWG IG, a CCWG is not an appropriate vehicle for the CCWG IG's work, and the GNSO Council's decision on this narrow point is not intended to prevent any GNSO community members who have been participating in the CCWG IG from continuing to participate in the group's activities should they decide to do so. And one moment, I need to scroll here. And Resolve 6, the GNSO Council requests that the GNSO Secretariat communicate this decision to the CCWG IG and the other chartering organizations. James, I'll hand it back to you.
Thank you, Keith. Thanks for teeing up this motion and for your work in drafting it. This is part and parcel of our discussion or continuation of our discussion on how to continue this work and what the best and most effective vehicle for that work or for a successor structure would be. It sounds like this is one path forward. So we'll go to the queue now. I have Aubrey and anyone else who would like to speak to this topic. Aubrey, go ahead.
Thank you. This is Aubrey speaking, and let me apologize up front for what I am about to say, since I know that you want to take this off the table as quickly as possible. But within the NCSG, we've been discussing it. We wish to offer a couple of amendments, but we haven't really had time to get them fully crafted and discuss them, and given the press of time today, not sure we could do it. Just to let you know that the amendments have to do with the press of time to be completed by Abu Dhabi, since the time is already getting short on that, and wishing to talk further about the automatic nature of the GNSO's withdrawal. So for the NCSG and such, I wanted to ask for a deferral on this motion so that we would have time to talk about friendly amendments and not try to do them with the press of time today. Thanks.
Thanks, Aubrey. And before I let you go, do you have any thoughts from the NCSG on what that would do? You mentioned that the I'm thinking timeline. You mentioned that that would put the potential resolution by ICANN 60 in Abu Dhabi, which is Resolve 4, that would probably be an unrealistic target. So are you thinking then the ICANN 61 or sometime at the end of the calendar year, or has that not yet come up in the NCSG's discussions? I'm just wondering if you have any thoughts on that.
Yeah. We haven't gotten specific on it, and I think that was part of what we need to discuss. You know, waiting until 6B may feel long, end of the year. I would like to discuss that, and I think either of those are better than 60. Discussing a friendly timeline extension and talking about the automatic nature of it were the two points, but I don't have a timeline at the moment. We had the meeting day before yesterday. We spent the 1 week of free of ICANN after the meeting, and we just got back into it this week and just haven't been able to get those amendments and discuss them with Keith and such so that they are friendly, hopefully.
Okay. Thanks, Aubrey. And just noting that, yes, we did move the meeting forward or backwards in time 7 days, so we did cut into whatever window the NCSG or any other group would have had to work on this. So I think, you know, given that unlike the previous agenda item, there is no hard and fast external deadline, we want to keep it moving. We want to preserve our momentum, but we also don't want to shortchange everyone's opportunity to weigh in on this. So I think we should give serious consideration to a deferral. Keith, you're up next.
Yeah, thanks, James, and thanks, Aubrey. I appreciate the comments. And actually, your point about timing was one that was also raised by a colleague in the contracted party house. And the suggestion was made, I don't remember if it was on the council list or if it was on, you know, an XCOM list or something like that, but that possibly to allow the CCWG IG to do some work, obviously very important work, between now and Abu Dhabi, but have the opportunity to meet in Abu Dhabi at ICANN 60 to, in a sense, finalize the work might be an appropriate thing, recognizing that there will have to be some formal decisions made by the chartering organizations, A, to withdraw, and then B, to sign on to whatever comes next, that possibly targeting ICANN 61 for the effective date of the motion, if you will, might be a reasonable thing. So if your suggestion today was to target ICANN 61 for the effective date of the motion, based on some other feedback that I've seen from other colleagues, I would accept that as friendly today if there was an opportunity to move this motion forward. As James has noted, both in Johannesburg and since, this has been, you know, a recurring issue for many, many months and many, well, several years now probably. So if there's an opportunity to move that forward, replace ICANN 60 with 61, I would accept that as friendly.
Thanks, Keith. And just as a seconder, I would as well. I don't know from Aubrey's intervention if it's that simple, but if it is, certainly that would be something to consider. Aubrey, go ahead.
Hi, this is Aubrey again. Certainly that's one half. The other half was also wanted to talk about the automatic nature of the withdrawal at 61. And that it seems that having a new thing be started, if that's what's decided, and having a sort of a pending automatic withdrawal in 61 was another piece we wanted to look at. But certainly the first part, yes, that would be to move that discussion to report on it in 60 to meet and to, you know, get a decision in 61, but just was looking about the automatic nature. And if we could close that today, that would be great, I guess.
Thanks, Aubrey. I'll throw it back to Keith, but as a seconder, I think the automatic nature is actually kind of an essential element of the motion. It is part of the decision that we would be taking. We would be moving off of one structure and moving on to another structure and putting a marker down that ICANN 61 now, according to the change, that ICANN 61 would be the inflection point where that would occur. But I guess I see Paul with his hand up, and we'll go to Paul, and then we'll see if Keith has any thoughts on that as well. Paul, go ahead.
Thanks, Paul McGrady here. So this is not going to make me popular, but we have the same problem that Aubrey had, which is this is a shortened time frame between the last meeting and this call, and complicating factors are Johannesburg travel back and 4th of July holiday for the folks in the U.S. And so I'd like to join the request for a deferral on this. And so that we can go back and get, better instructions from the ICC on this. We have, of course, been putting it out on the list, but without an intervening ICC meeting to really talk through it and come to a conclusion, our position just really isn't fully baked. And I don't want to vote no just to maintain the status quo. I'd rather have, solid instructions following an ICC
opportunity to really talk this through. So if we can defer it, I'd much prefer that to happen. Thank you.
Thanks, Paul. Noted, and we'll go back to Keith.
Thanks, James, and thanks to everybody who's provided input. It sounds like we have several groups who need some additional time, which I respect. And so, James, I'm going to recommend that we defer the motion until our next meeting. I think that it's important for people to focus on this. It's a big issue. It's not a decision that we are in any way taking rashly or trying to push through unreasonably. But to James's point in Johannesburg, this is something that's been hanging out there for quite a while. There's been some good work and some great conversations. I think it's really critical, though, that the folks who are really engaged in that group start working like now with, you know, with their colleagues from other chartering organizations to begin the important work of developing the successor. So I'm going to withdraw or suggest we withdraw the motion or defer the motion until the next meeting. And then, you know, I did say that I would accept today the, you know, the ICANN 61 date as a friendly amendment. I probably would again, but I'll just withdraw that acceptance for the time being. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Keith. I put myself in the queue so we can just kind of move off of this. I don't know, Michele, if you had some thoughts here. I mainly just wanted to note that given the compressed time calendar for the meeting and some of the issues that were raised by Aubrey and echoed by Paul, that it probably makes sense to go ahead and defer this. I just want to make sure we're clear. Deferral means that it will come up at the next meeting, and then it has to go forward with a vote. There is only one deferral allowed per motion, per topic, you know, so while a withdrawal would mean this would come up again. And again, deferral means it's kind of a one-and-done approach. And I actually think that's probably the right approach because I'm going to go ahead and make myself unpopular now, as I think that, you know, we did, if you recall, we did have a lot of these same discussions in the run-up to the meeting in Hyderabad. We put together a window for Copenhagen. We had some discussions coming out of Copenhagen in order to get ready for Johannesburg, and now we're kicking beyond Abu Dhabi. So I think it is important for us to at some point say, you know, here is a line, you know, in the dirt, and here's where we need to make a decision, because we just kind of continue to delay any decisions or actions or changes, and the status quo just seems to have a fair bit of momentum on this working group, and I think that's the part that we're trying to address. So a deferral is certainly in order, and we'll go ahead and defer this then until the next meeting, which I believe is scheduled for the last week of August, which would then mean that the document and cutoff date to get those amendments, whether they're coming from the NCSG or if there are any coming out of the ITC or any other groups, would probably fall some point in the mid-August timeline, probably in the somewhere in between the 10th and the and the 13th or 14th, something along those lines. So I would ask everyone to please put this front and center with your stakeholder groups and constituencies, and make sure that if you have amendments or additions or other language, please get that submitted to the list. You know, before that next document cutoff deadline in mid-August. And because it is a deferral, and I'll check with staff on this, but I think I'm correct, because it is a deferral, it would still need to to be accepted as a friendly amendment by Keith and by myself. And then if it's an unfriendly amendment, that doesn't mean it's the end of the road. It just means we have a different process that we would have to employ to approve amendments that weren't taken as friendly. But that's our path forward, and that's our target date. And with that, okay, thank you, Keith. It's the 20th. Yes, correct. We would not be deferring this to the 20th. We would be deferring it to the August meeting, and I apologize for the lack of clarity on that. Thanks for pointing that out, Keith. So, Michele, you're up next. Go ahead.
Thanks, James. Michele, for the record, very briefly. It would just be helpful for the record if Keith were to clarify whether he's requesting a deferral or withdrawal, because he said both.
deferral is what I meant. Thanks, Michaela.
Okay, that's fine. This is Keith. As James pointed out, there's a big difference between the two. Thanks.
Yep, agreed. I misspoke, and deferral was what I meant. Thanks.
Yeah, and I don't think you misspoke, Keith. I think we were using those terms interchangeably, and Michaela's correct to point out there's a very important difference. And just to note, the July 20th meeting may not happen. It's completely predicated on the idea that someone submits a petition to blow up the draft budget. Probably, you know, I don't want to handicap the odds here, but I think it's probably somewhere, it's towards the unlikely end of the spectrum that even happens. So it's important that we not defer to a meeting that's likely to be canceled. So the August meeting is what we're targeting. Keith, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, James. And I typed this into chat, but for those who are only on audio, I just wanted to note, I really do think that we will be able to find acceptable language, and I encourage everybody, after you've had a chance to consult with your groups, to submit any suggested edits or proposed friendly amendments on the list so we can work through the issues or questions before the next meeting. It would be great if we could sort of have it wrapped up and have everybody sort of in tentative agreement before we actually get to the next meeting. And I'm standing by, happy to receive any of those suggestions. Thanks.
Okay, great. Thanks, Keith. Thanks, everyone. Mary is also just very helpfully put in the chat that the petitions to reject the budget are due on the 15th. So they're due Saturday. Is that right? Okay. They're due on the 15th. So if we don't receive one on the 15th, then the meeting on the 20th just kind of evaporates in a puff of pixie dust or whatever. So we don't need it. Okay. So that's our path forward for the CCWGIG charter and successor structure. We can then move out of our vote into discussion item number 8. Time check, we have about 21 minutes left in our call, and we have 3 minutes and one AOB left to the cover. So the first one is a possible proposed name change of the GNSO. We'll allocate some time for this and ask Paul McGrady to introduce the topic. Paul, if you are available, please take it away.
Thanks, James. Paul McGrady here. Given how much we have to accomplish and how little time we have to accomplish it, and given the higher priorities of the other items on the agenda, is it possible to just push this to our next call?
Yeah, absolutely, Paul, but our next call would be in August. Is that?
Yeah, I think that's fine. When we look at the other items on the agenda, those are more time-sensitive than this.
Okay, fair enough. And so we will do so. We'll make sure that this is held over for our next agenda, for our next call. And thanks for your consideration on that. We'll then move to agenda item number 9, which is another discussion topic on the CCWG on the use of country and territory names. This CCWG has, as we mentioned in our open projects list, recently published its final report and has some recommendations, and we need to make a determination as one of the chartering organizations of where we go with this next. So with that, I will, if you don't mind, Heather, I can turn it over to you. And you can walk us through some of the potential paths in front of us on CCWG, country and territory names.
Thanks, James. Heather Forrest for the record. With great thanks to staff for putting together this slide, I'd like to keep this fairly short and snappy. This, you might remember, was a point that that I asked be raised in our council meeting in Johannesburg. And I, at that point, expressed concern about the tenor of how this fed into broader discussions about the GNSO's remit in the context of geographic names. And you can see why in relation to how these recommendations are actually articulated. The challenge that we had here was that the group really was fundamentally not just unable to agree on the substance, but was unable, more troublingly, to agree on what the next steps are. And while I don't think that there's anything necessarily controversial in these recommendations. Like, there's nothing that we can't, as a GNSO community, live with in these recommendations. What I am concerned about is we're essentially then signing off on the lack of agreement on what to do next. And I will say this, that the GNSO participants in the cross-community working group were very much of a view that this issue should go to subsequent procedures. And that was a natural next home for it, that geographic names sit clearly in the subsequent procedures charter, and it was just a logical next step. That logical next step was resisted pretty vigorously by the CCNSO and the GAC. So here's where we are. You see these recommendations. I think that Carlos, I'll note as well, is also a GNSO co-chair for this working group. I think Carlos and I are very much in agreement that it's an appropriate thing to close the cross-community working group, particularly in light of the fact that we have subsequent procedures on foot, that we agree that the community would benefit from, rather than this kind of ad hoc cafeteria style, each SOAC has its own approach to how we deal with geographic names, that we all consolidate those efforts, and that's really the only way to come up with a consistent, harmonized framework. And that the dialogue be inclusive. And, of course, there are significant efforts being made by Aubrey and Jess in the form of those pretty innovative externally facilitated sessions in Johannesburg to ensure that that happens. Again, the only it's reading between the lines here as to, you know, what our approval of these recommendations would mean, which makes me think that I think we could approve these recommendations with a particular reference to subsequent procedures. So this dovetails pretty nicely into the concerns that many were making in relation to the GAC communique. This is an opportunity for us. Again, I think the tone needs to be managed right, but this is an opportunity for us to clearly put the marker down and say, you know, the GNSO is in this space and rightfully in this space. And as a reminder, we're really going out of our way to ensure that that dialogue is inclusive and considering, you know, next steps for the discussion. And I think it's great that we have Jeff and Aubrey on the line to tell us about next steps. So that's an introduction. I think we need to be careful about the timing of when we, you know, the tone and the timing when we want to put this on the agenda. We might be, you know, in a position to do that by August, and that's fine. But whatever we do, I think we're all in agreement based on the comments I heard in relation to the response to the communique that we don't want to damage or in any way jeopardize the continued progress of the PEP. So I think that needs to be of our paramount concern. James, I'm happy to answer any questions and leave it at that.
Thanks, Heather. Appreciate your introduction, your summary of the work, and also your labors on this CWG and your leadership of the GNSO folks on this. I have Keith in the queue, and I'm going to put my own hand up here because I have a question. So, Keith, go ahead.
Sorry, James, old hand.
Ah, okay, no worries, Keith. Heather, do you, and I think you touched on this at the end here, and I'm just for clarification, do you foresee any friction or any perception, let's say, on the other SOs and ACs that participated in this CWG that the creation of Work Track 5, which I think we all agree was a reasonable and sensible approach to dealing with these issues under the umbrella of subpro PDP, that could be seen as the GNSO taking sort of unilateral action on this CWG, or is that just kind of the, you know, I'm taking to heart your note of caution there at the end that we need to proceed thoughtfully here. Is that going to be seen as a, you know, kind of a a turf grab on our part, because it is something that we have essentially said is within the discretion of a PDP on how to organize itself. But if you feel like that's going to be seen as a unnecessarily adversarial type of development by some of these other groups who participate in the CWG, I think it would be good to know that.
James, thanks. This is Heather. Look, I think this is a two-part answer. The first part of the answer is to say that, as Rubens has noted, this is, let's say, Rubens' point is one that was made, and thanks to Rubens for being on the cross-community working group as well and contributing sensible comments like that in that context. You know, this is something that we pointed at fairly repeatedly in trying to secure agreement on next steps in this final report. And really, to our dismay, the fairly, you know, incontrovertible statement that the CCWG doesn't have power under the bylaws and this is going to have to go to a PDP was met with pretty much obstinacy on the part of the GAC and the GNSO. James, I think that, you know, the only group that we're concerned about in the context of this vote on the final report is the CCNSO, because it's the GNSO and the CCNSO that are the chartering organizations of these of this work. I feel as if the CCNSO is likely to live with this language. I think the GNSO really was the one that compromised on the way that this is articulated, and this is largely the product of CCNSO drafting, what you see here on the screen. But in terms of your specific question, James, about, you know, how is this likely to, you know, impact on the remit question, I wonder, it's not really it's not really normal, let's say, procedure, SOP, but we had Jeff on the call and Aubrey as well, and I wonder, maybe Jeff's in a better position to answer your question about what the impact could be than I am. So if you're willing to flip it to him, I think it would be useful. If we want to, in the interest of time, take it to the list, we can do that.
Thanks, Heather. And we all know Jeff and Aubrey are really shy and probably won't want to speak up on this topic. Oh, I'm just kidding. Jeff's in the queue. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, thanks. Just to say that when the GNSO Council approved the charter for the subsequent procedures PDP, the charter very specifically calls out that the subsequent procedures PDP is to consider any of the findings of the CCWG on the use of country and territory names. So it was always contemplated, no matter what happened, that the output of that group would feed into the subsequent procedures PDP. So I think that other than the notion that we talked about earlier about whether geographic names are truly in the scope of the GNSO, which some CCTLDs and some GAC members do not think it is, other than that, and we'll never get over that argument until we face it head on, other than that, everyone else seems pretty should be fine with just closing this group and moving it to the work track 5. So I think it's generally, for the most part, will be accepted.
Thanks, Jeff. And just noting, we've got some green check marks of agreement from Cheryl and Aubrey to your last statement there. And thanks for the reminder on the charter. And so if I'm understanding you correctly, it sounds like this would not necessarily be a the creation of Work Track 5 is not necessarily seen as all that surprising of a next step since it was anticipated in the sub-pro charter. So that's good to know. Donna, you're up next. Go ahead.
Thanks, James. Donna Austin. I've just confirmed this with Heather, but this CCWG was kicked off before the CCWG and CCWG has completed its work. So when this was kicked off, it might have had a little bit different meaning to the CCNSO and the GAC at that time. And the reason for this, I suspect, is because the CCNSO and the GAC worked very closely together on a fast-track process implement IDN CCTLDs. And I think I've heard Krista Spain refer to that effort as one of the first, you know, CCWGs that actually did any work. And that fast track was actually able to be implemented without going through any policy process. So I suspect that some of the resistance from the GAC or the CCNSO might actually relate back to that experience. So they actually have been in a position where they have undertaken essentially what was a cross-community working group outside of a policy process and had the recommendations from that implemented through approval by the board. So, I mean, that's just, just a little bit of colour and history as to why there might be some resistance to the CCNSO and the GAC on this, because it goes back to history. And I'm very conscious that we have Ben Fuller on this call, who is our CCNSO liaison, and I'm wondering if he can give us, I mean, I appreciate that, you know, Heather's been involved with this firsthand, but I just wonder whether Ben can give us any sense of discussions that are going on within the CCNSO in particular on this matter, and whether he can provide any colour and in terms of what those conversations are and where he thinks the CCNSO is headed. Thanks, James.
Thanks, Donna. And I'm just noting a couple of responses in the chat, but I don't know if Ben is, we had some audio issues earlier, and I don't know if he's connected and available and willing to respond to your question about where the CCNSO's minds collectively are on this topic and where it goes from here. Ben, if you're on the line, are you able to shed any light on that topic?
Unfortunately, not.
I'm sorry, Ben. If you're speaking, you're very, very faint.
Ben, if you're speaking, you're very, very faint.
Can you hear me now?
I hear you.
We try again, staff. Can we make sure we've got them connected. Ben, can you try again?
Can you hear me now?
Very faintly, but a little bit better.
Okay. I wasn't able to attend that session with at Johannesburg because I was, you know, in a meeting with the GNSO. I think the best thing for me to do, given the question that Donna has raised, would be to go back and then poll some people from that working group from the CCNSO, just to get a sense, and then draft a report and send it to you, everybody on the council.
Yeah, thanks, Ben. And for those who are, yes, I could hear you. And for those who are having difficulty hearing, Ben indicated that he was not able to attend that session because he was with us in the GNSO, and that he is going to go back to the participants from the CCNSO who participated on this CWG and try to get a sense of their views on where we go from here. And hopefully I have accurately and faithfully conveyed that as best I could. So thank you, Ben, and thank you, Donna, for raising that question. We have just a few minutes left in our call. We have a couple more topics. I'd like to move on, but I'd like to note that this is, if it's not clear by now, this is this issue is very closely entangled with the sub-pro discussion, the geonames discussion, and also the viability and legitimacy of the PDP to address these overarching issues and how the rest of the community perceives and participates in that process. So very important, and we'll look forward to additional discussions and at some point a decision on this on the CWG final report in the coming months. So thank you very much, Heather, for teeing that up and for walking us through that. The next item is agenda item number 10, which is planning for ICANN 60. You know, we've got staff has done a wonderful job, of course, and all the chairs and not only the GNSOs, but specifically the stakeholder groups and constituencies have been meeting with the other remainders of the community to try and hammer this out. I just would like to report a couple of things. One is that we're well along in the process of developing a draft schedule for ICANN 60. The second is that we have a draft schedule, at least from the GNSO perspective, that will be circulating shortly. Please take a look at that and circulate it amongst your constituencies. The third item is that, and this one caught me off guard, is that the submission of topics for cross-community discussion topics, which previously were in a previous life were known as high-interest topics, is actually due on Tuesday. So that's just about the 21st, if I'm not mistaken. Terry probably will set me straight on that. So we need to kind of make sure that everyone understands that if they have an idea or something that they'd like to get submitted for a cross-community discussion session, that the clock is ticking to get those submitted. So we'll circulate instructions and timelines again on the council list, but please make sure that that is front and center in all of your groups so that we can get those submitted as quickly as possible. Friday the 21st. Thank you, Terry. And so that's really the highlights of the ICANN 60 planning process right now, in that we've got a skeletal framework ready to go. We'll be circulating the GNSO's slice of that to the list here very shortly, at least the current version of it, and that those cross-community discussion topics are due in a fairly short order, just over a week from today. So thank you for that. And if anyone has any questions for that, let's try and take it to the list. We've got a few minutes left, and I'd like to move to AOB. We have an update from the new GTLD subpro PDP co-chairs, Jeff and Aubrey, who have Aubrey was an alternate, so she was captive. She had to stay. But, Jeff, thank you for sticking it out through the entire call. I know there were some other topics that you wanted to weigh in on as well, and so we're glad to hear from you on those. But if you can give us an update on where you're going with SubPro and the topic of geonames, and I don't think it's necessary to, cover the ground that we've already covered relative to the GAC advice in the communique, but anything else is fair game. So whichever one of you would like to speak, please just go ahead, Jeff and Aubrey.
This is Jeff. I'll start, and then Aubrey can weigh in. On the geonames, the most important thing, as we discussed, we're going to send an invite letter to the chairs of the GNSO, obviously that's you, James, to the chair of the CCNSO, the chair of the GAC, and the chair of the ALAC to nominate one person to serve as co-leader. Actually, there was a different term. I forgot what it was, Aubrey, but essentially a co-leader of this fifth work track. Hopefully get a meeting scheduled with those co-leaders in August so that we can start work as a work track five on in early September with a goal of taking about 6 months to provide preliminary recommendations. Now, that may be a little bit after a preliminary report of the rest of the group for the subsequent procedures, so we may be doing two parallel tracks here with the full subsequent procedures, PDP, versus the GEO issue, work track five, but it's possible they may both be on the same track. The most important thing is really then to
have you, James, solicit volunteers for that leader position and have some process for choosing that leader. That's pretty much on the geo issue. That's where we're heading. The geo group, as we discussed in Johannesburg, that work track 5 has a lot of freedom and flexibility in the PDP rules, so it can operate pretty much as it wants to operate in terms of making its determinations of consensus. And obviously everything has to be approved through the full working group and then obviously the council. One of the big issues that was brought up on at that meeting was that the government's concern that they wanted, or and the CCTLD's concern that they wanted assurance that the GNSO Council wouldn't change the results of the work track 5. Obviously, Avery and I could not provide any guarantees that that would be the case, but we said it's kind of dumb for us to actually, it would not be the smartest thing in the world for the GNSO Council to have a bottom-up process only to overturn it completely if the process works the way it's supposed to. But other than saying that, there's no guarantees we could provide. I know I'm trying to rush because we're way over time. So that's all I have on the geos, and maybe we can just send you our newsletter on the rest of the updates on SubPro.
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate that, and appreciate you giving us the abbreviated highlights, and also appreciate you letting us know that we're not the dumbest folks in the room. I don't know if you said it that way, but that's how. So, just a quick question: when you say choosing a GNSO co-leader of Work Track 5, did you envision that that would come from the existing membership of the SubPro PDP working group, or could it just be anyone brief, you know, or across the GNSO community or a counselor? Because this might sound like something that we would have to throw over to our standing selection committee. I don't want to assume that's where it's going, but it might be where this ends up. Aubrey, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Aubrey speaking. I think that it could be larger than our group, so throwing it over to the selection committee may indeed be the best thing to do if there's someone that the GNSO is more, you know, appropriate. Plus, a lot of the people in the group are already, you know, deep in the mire. I think we were thinking of calling them coordinators. And the only thing I wanted to add to what Jeff said is it's very important, it seems, that this group feels that they're not sort of operating under our thumb, that it was very important to them that this Work Track 5 have the ability to define its own working methods. So while Jeff and I will be helping and will be ultimately responsible, what we really want to do is help them figure that out, how to do the work. Thanks.
Thanks, Avery. Good to know. So just my first reaction to that is I can appreciate the need for some degree of independence or autonomy, I guess maybe is the wrong word. But the entire PDP, including Work Track 5, is still operating under its charter that was adopted by the GNSO. And so so long as, I guess, those constraints are still in effect, then I think that this is just a case of a PDP organizing and its own work and its own work plan. But if it starts to expand or wish to expand what's covered under its existing charter, then that is a different matter and something that's going to have to come back to the council. So that's just something that we would have to keep in mind because we can't have a chartered working group form a work track that then, you know, the exception then swallows the rule. But I know that you guys are veterans, and I'm glad you're on this particular topic. So thank you. Thank you for that, and we will look forward to continued discussion of that in your newsletter, which I think is great, by the way, and also on our list as this effort gets spun up. And also, you know, let us know if there's anything that we can do to encourage some of those other communities to make sure that they're sending you know, a delegation or whatever to participate in Work Track 5. That is the end of AOB, and that is the end of our agenda. We're 7 minutes over time. Thank you very much to Jeff and Avery for that last bit of update and for attending for the entire call. Thanks for everyone who stuck through the compressed cycle. We have a couple of items that didn't make it on this agenda, but will show up again on our next agenda, including one that will the GAC response, the GAC communique that we will work on in the interim between now and the 20th. Other than that, if there are no other speakers or hands in the queue, we can adjourn for today. And I would say thank you to everyone for their work, and we will be expecting some of this these vigorous conversations to continue on our mailing list. So with that, we'll go ahead and close the call. Thank you very much.
Thanks, James. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Thank you. Operator Daisy, if you could please stop all recordings. To everyone else, please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and have a lovely rest of your day.